Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at FreeStyleLibre.us.
For prescription only, safety info found at FreeStyleLibre.us.
Welcome to the Baseball Insiders Prospect Show. Happy Tuesday at noon Eastern Time. I'm Adam Weinrub, joined as I am every Tuesday by FanSided's prospect guru, Eric Cole, on the other side of the screen. There he is. We are entering the best time of the baseball season, if you like actual gameplay. If gameplay is your thing, it's hard to beat October. It's kind of the best. There's playoffs, then there are several rounds of them, and then the World Series. But in terms of prospect coverage, the minor league season is done. The minor league postseason is settled. Again, congrats to the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp. Pop those bottles. All we have left is the Arizona Fall League, and to wait for the offseason, for player movement, for reappraisals, for all that good stuff. But we do have some Arizona Fall League data. So figured we'd talk about some early surprises in the AFL action. Maybe this is finally the podcast that gets the AFL to send me some hats. My number one complaint with the AFL, I'll make it on this show again, because we do whatever we want, right? We run the show. We do whatever we want. The hats are beautiful. You have the same teams in the AFL every year, the Scorpions, the Desert Dogs. There's not a lot of redesigns. Sell them. Sell the hats. Maybe you can get them if you go. I've never been. I would love to go. But online, no footprint for the hats. I was lucky enough to get a Salt River Rafters hat once when Hat Club put them up. 4 years ago, maybe six. I mean, guys, you're sitting on a gold mine. You'll have at least one purchaser if you put these hats up for grabs. But the players who actually wear the hats, unlike the fans who try to buy them, are doing some damage early. Want to get Eric's thoughts on some names that have had a good first week, as well as maybe anyone else who's caught his eye. And because we can do whatever we want here, I want to talk a little bit more, do a more backdoor cards pilot work. I want to talk a little bit about Bowman Chrome investments. What we've seen from the first couple of weeks of the product, if any prospect heads, sports card folks, crossover, watch and listen to the show, you got to assume that that does exist because we are that. So if the two hosts are that, then presumably some of the viewers and listeners are as well. We'll touch on that a little bit. We thank everyone for joining us on a Tuesday at noon or on your favorite podcast platform in the aftermath. Welcome to the show, viewers, listeners, and welcome to the show, Eric Cole.
Yeah, I'm excited about this one because the Arizona Fall League is kind of it's a very unique sort of situation where it's like a league that only goes on for, what is it? I think it ends up being six, seven weeks, something like that. And, you know, it's kind of, for a lot of fans, it's arcane. Like, you know, what purpose does this serve? Who's even eligible to be playing down there? Ultimately, it's just kind of a league where teams send their prospects who need more reps, whether it be for injuries or for whatever reason they just didn't play enough this year. They want to get more attention. It's not quite the prospect showcase that it used to be, but at the same time, a lot of big-time prospects do generally end up down there. And again, it's something that has had a special place in my heart for a long time. I'm with you, though. I don't know why they don't sell the hats. And frankly, you would not be the only one to buy the hats because, as I have found out, you know, covering sports writing, people care a lot about gear, a lot about uniforms, and a lot about hats. And if you give them an opportunity to get some hats that they don't have, I guarantee you, you're going to have a line out the door.
Yeah, and again, all these minor league teams are rebranding, trying to sell additional gear. Like, the Arizona Fall League teams don't have to rebrand. They've had the same brand for a really long time now, and so everyone's still looking to get their first hat. Maybe if you sell enough merch, you'll need to entertain a rebrand in the future. These guys can be the, you know, pancake heads or the banana slugs or whatever, and you can do, you know, 1 week of special edition gear. But for now, we just want the OGs. So if this message reaches the right ears, hopefully some change may actually be enacted. And again, big news on the Baseball Insiders front, not necessarily the prospect show. Silver Slugger coming out. I mean, we're 3+ weeks away from the reveal of the winners. Again, you'll find that right here on the Baseball Insiders. The nominees drop next week. You'll read all about that on fansided.com. And then we can really get down to it. Let the debate begin. Well, let's talk AFL to start. And I want to get your thoughts on some guys who've caught your eye and, you know, thoughts of your own. But first, I wanted to go through a few of MLB pipeline standouts and get your thoughts on their early returns and performance. And you and I always, every time we talk Pirates, it comes with a caveat, right? We always want to say, you know, even the best of the best, Connor Griffin, we want to say, you know, hopefully, you know, knock on wood, looks like this guy's set up for great things unless the Pirates get their hands on him and do Pirate stuff. Maybe Connor Griffin is so transcendent that that doesn't totally, it'll be hard for them to, you know, negatively affect his trajectory. We don't know. We hope that it will be difficult to do that. But the more borderline cases, the mega talented prospects with clearer flaws or with tougher positions to pencil them into, you worry a little bit more about the Pirates doing their thing. And as Merlin Valdez has been a really early standout in the AFL, two bombs in his first two games, he needs Rule 5 protection this year. So he will be 21 years old and almost definitely on the 40 man at the end of the year after a double A ball and tearing up the first week of the AFL. He's certainly a little bit more boom or bust than Connor Griffin, a little bit more at risk, but he's also on the verge of a big league cameo. And this prospect, like you said, not quite as much of a showcase as it used to be, but he has taken to top level competition at both double A with Altoona and this fall to start the AFL. And he's going to be a big league call-up option next year because they can't keep him off the 40 man. Someone's going to claim the booming power bat if they do.
I'm actually not so sure he'd get claimed. And there's a few reasons. Well, here's the problem, right? He before this year, as Maryland wasn't like a particularly like a prospect of note for most people. And when you have a guy like that who's been slow to develop, I mean, he was signed, what, 4 or 5 years ago? And he's been a slow to develop bat who is not like a defensive wunderkind or anything like that. And yes, he needs Rule 5 protection if you're worried about him getting picked. But generally speaking, guys with limited experience at AA or above, and again, he has, what, just maybe 50, 60 games at AA, and that's it. It's a question of, do you really want to carry this guy on your 40-man, on your active roster, and use that spot on a guy who, like, has not proven that he can, like, over a longer sample, can hit even upper level of the minors pitching. And that's why you don't see a lot of bats picked in the Rule 5, unless they're, like, corner case example, like a former top prospect who had like two bad years and then comes back up with a big year and has been in the minor leagues forever. That's a guy that might get picked by a team like, hey, you know what? He's been in AAA for 2 or 3 years now. We can throw him on our bench, and if he turns into something, great. But in the case of Esmeralda, and then like another name is kind of similar, is Wilfredo Antunez, I believe is his name. Those are kind of like two bats that, like, they are boom or bust. They could be interesting. They could turn into real prospects, right? Like, they had good weeks this week. This is something that could happen. But I don't think this winter is when another team would bet a Rule 5 pick on picking them. But it could make them more attractive trade pieces and, like, you know, for teams that would like to move things around. And that's where the Pirates might screw things up, right? Because they love to make trades, and they love to make trades for players that, frankly, don't cost much money. And to do that, they'll send away guys who they probably shouldn't get rid of, and that's kind of – the guy that, again, this is a kind of sort of prospect we're dealing with here, was a guy who I think they could end up giving up on him too early because he's showing something on the AFL.
Yeah, that's a very good point. And he sort of falls in line with some of the surprising recent, you know, players who've emerged, and even the comments, the players, these Angels players that Jacob is asking about, sort of fall into a similar bucket of, like, Rowdy Rodriguez was essentially the Angels, you know, surprise player of the year at the minor league level. And that will immediately make an Angels fan think, okay, how do we find enough room for him? Meanwhile, the Angels fan is also already scarred over watching guys like Joe Adell stall out at the big league level and then finally emerge 3 years later, but also not quite emerge as what they were hoping they would have emerged as 2 or 3 years ago. But, you know, Rowdy is in the AFL with the aforementioned Salt River Raptors, who I guess are my team by default because that's the hat that I own. So thoughts on the Angels, folks, and we appreciate the question, of course, but thoughts on, I think that Rodriguez feels similar to Esmerlin Valdez as well in terms of, like, The numbers are pretty excellent. The track record is not long. He's coming out of rookie ball back-to-back years. This is his first year of full season ball. So upper level contributions for Valdez in comparison. This is a 22-year-old who doesn't have the track record of Valdez, even if Valdez's track record is just over a year. But thoughts on the Angels here and an odd system that just gets stranger.
I think that's a fair thing to say, that it's definitely kind of, it's an odd system run by an organization that does things pretty much differently than everyone else, I would say. I'm with you on Rodriguez. I think that he is interesting and that he had a good year. But at the same time, I don't think it should change all that much. like his performance this year, but what we'd like to see is him playing well over extended innings, and that's what the AFL is for, is getting those extra innings, see how he continues to hold up and pitch well. Flores as a catching prospect is kind of an interesting name, and he's been around for a while. I think he's like, you know, top 20 somewhere in their prospect list. You want to see him like he has all this potential both as a hitter and as a catcher, but like the numbers didn't really bear that out this year with Flores. And I think that what they're trying to do is get him some more experience to kind of get more data on him to make a decision as to how hard to push him or even to push him at all and potentially put him in like trade talks, for example. This is another case where I could see them wanting more data and putting him in front of more eyes. And if he has a good season, because again, it's not like Logan Ohapi's going anywhere, right? Mm-hmm. So he didn't have a great year, but I don't think Juan Flores is going to be pushing him off that position either. So I think that the two guys that you kind of mentioned are guys that I think the Angels would like to kind of, you know, be put in some other trade conversations, not necessarily super high on their, you know, fast track to the big leagues, you know, put them in the big leagues after 6 months thing that they like to do. But at the same time, I could see them turning into something. And then after that, it just kind of comes down to if the right deals come along to include them or if they could kind of turn themselves into something more. Wouldn't be the first time that happens.
The Ohapi chasm is a funny one because I think you and I are like, there's no way they're ending their relationship with Logan Ohapi. And I do think Angels fans at this point are kind of wondering, is this a guy that we do move off of before we get Bird, before we extend? You know, did I see enough in 2025 to ensure for me that he's the catcher of the present and future? So we appreciate the Angels question. We see where you're coming from there. I think we're a couple steps back from the edge of the ledge on Ohapi, and I think maybe that's the objective perspective, but who's to say who's right, who's wrong? I think this year is going to be a crucial one for him, and we'll know more about the Angels catcher building blocks afterwards.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
As well. Okay, back to the task at hand. Another name in the AFL I want to talk about. Seaver King, who MLB Pipeline said, quote, might have had the best all-around week of any AFL hitter. That is a top draft pick of the Washington Nationals in a stacked top of the draft who has not taken the steps forward that the rest of his class has. Now, one good week in the AFL does not a performer make, but noteworthy that, again, in a league where some of the eyes may be off these days, slightly less attention, slightly less of a showcase, you're not seeing 12 of the top 30 prospects showing up to the AFL this year. Does Seaver King's strong week prove anything to you about the direction that he might take in the next year when he shows up for opening day next year? How much writing off are we doing of Seaver King?
I wasn't really writing him off even when he was bad in the regular season, and he was not good in the regular season, minor league regular season,
yes.
Just to be clear. But he was just such a good hitter in college that I found it hard to believe that what we were seeing this year was real. And at least his stint in the AFL is showing that it's still in there. He's still capable of being a good baseball player. It doesn't change his trajectory for me, but that's because I wasn't as down on him as I think others were. I think he's still a very good hitting prospect, and I think the Nationals did well to pick him up when they did. But, I mean, the numbers were bad this year, so you kind of wanted to at least see him show something down in the AFL. Now, you're right. It's 1 week, right? And it's week one where like the pitchers are still kind of figuring out, you know, what they're doing. They're not in the same sort of roles they're used to being because they're only throwing a couple innings at a time. So it's not something I want to draw too many conclusions about. And in some respects, a guy with like from a preeminent college program, some of the prospects he's going to be going up against are not nearly as advanced as he is. So maybe it's not as the level of competition isn't what we want it to be in terms of figuring out if King is good or not. But if he has a good AFL, then I think it's a lot easier to write off what was a bad 2025 season. If he has this one good week and then he struggles again, then it starts to feel a little bit more like maybe those numbers this year in the regular season were real.
Yeah, I love when you bring the perspective of like, these guys don't typically lose it year over year. Like if someone was as good a college hitter as Seaver King was, yes, with flaws, you know, no one's arguing for immediate graduation to the bigs, But we are saying that it was in there so recently that we're not discounting a top 10 pick, and a deserved top 10 pick because of a difficult year where he was pushed to the double A level in Harrisburg after a difficult, you know, difficult start at high A. And they just said, who cares? Bring him to Harrisburg anyway, because this is a college bat and we need to see what this test brings us. It didn't bring us much. Didn't bring us much data to be proud of. It brought us some data and high quality data, but we don't really know what we've got here. But you're right, it doesn't disappear year over year. Most impressive week in the AFL. They don't give out awards for that, but it is nice to see. And certainly I think some Nats fans who are dreading what this might look like might be a little more satisfied today. And speaking of dreading what this might look like, Hagan Smith, he's going to get another start this week. So again, the numbers are going to keep on climbing. We'll know more about where the ERA sits by next week's show. But first outing, three shutout frames, three hits, a little bit of traffic on the bases, but four Ks. Again, hard to be determinative about that. But for a guy who's been hit with the reset button several times already this year, hard to argue with what he gave you in his AFL debut.
No, you can't really argue with it. And that's what you would have hoped for out of him, is to pitch well, because Hagan Smith was, again, and remains one of the best pitching prospects in baseball. It's just, you know, there seems to be a lot of reworking. Obviously, there's some injury concerns there as well. So you kind of wonder what's going on, and you wanted to see him come into the AFL and be able to throw multiple innings and look dominant like he did. So off to a great start. Now, again, these are reworked mechanics. These are, you know, a guy who's had a lot of changes. Do all the adjustments stick? Do they actually work over long term? Can hitters, you know, has it changed how hitters perceive his pitches, his release point, whatever? There's a lot of things that, like, the more a guy throws, once a guy makes a change, he might look really good that first start back, which is kind of what will happen here. But then hitters understand, okay, maybe his release point's a little bit lower, I need to start looking for this, or that means his pitches are not going to do this because of how he's throwing it, and they can make adjustments from there. Now, if it sticks and hitters still can't pick him up, then, you know, obviously that's great news. But I'm not going to draw too many conclusions from it, but it is nice to know that he's alive, because the, you know, the constant resetting of him, and he was probably one of my favorite pitching prospects in baseball until he kind of had to deal with his weird stuff this year. So I'm glad to see that he's still, you know, he's still healthy and seems to be doing well.
Yeah, if the AFL is no longer the preeminent prospect showcase, it's a solid proof of life showcase, and we thank them for giving us Hagan Smith after the fact. Again, AFL, a good place. You know, again, if it's not like the upper tier stage, if it's not the futures game, it's a good spot to get your looks in, have somebody show us what their reworked mechanics can do. And for the collectors out there, it's a great spot to send your single signed card to get autographed and returned in a self-addressed stamped envelope. That was sort of how I used it as a kid, as a teen. Let's be honest. I was not quite a kid. Maybe I was writing some handwritten letters with the left hand to make it look a little more childish. I was not above those tricks. No, I don't think I ever actually did that. But it's a great spot to connect for fans, to connect with their favorite prospects as well. But for the collectors out there, it's worth, I think, closing today's show with a note on the way that we've attacked and seen the market develop over, you know, the first couple of weeks of the Bowman Chrome release. Eric likes to make fun of me. I'm an insane person. My birthday is this week. I have two Mojo boxes waiting for me. I will not open them until my birthday occurs. So for those on birthday watch, Friday, we're going to be breaking. So I'll let you know if I pull any worthy hits. But we've already seen, I think, certain strategies change in investing in the first couple of weeks of this product. I was early talking to Eric about, like, hey, you know, I don't know. Is it crazy? I know the prices are already kind of high. Is it crazy to do like a Cam Schlittler thing, like buy into a couple of breaks? And I was looking at them at like 40, 45, 50, and then they climbed up to like 110. And I was like, you know, I don't know if I'm willing to sacrifice 110 on some base rookies if you know, the worst happens and nothing materializes. And then Cam Schlittler has the greatest, greatest playoff start on record. And the prices go up pretty high because he happens to be a member of the New York Yankees. Maybe people will forget that happened after the Yankees bowed out to the Blue Jays. I don't know. Maybe a silver lining of a horrible thing that happened to my team. But obviously, the investment strategy has to change there. That's no longer a good idea to go all in on Cam Schlittler right away. Chase Hampton, maybe a forgotten Yankee, is still on my radar. Sorry for giving away that secret. But anything you've seen early, prospects you maybe didn't expect to be quite so popular, or narratives, collection ideas that are already changing after just a couple of weeks of this product being live?
So I decided I wanted to keep things narrow, and I went strictly for Diego Tornes, the top Braves prospect in the set. Did well there, have a couple lower number autos as well as an international refractor. I was happy to get those for him. And then I went for some with Drake Baldwin, and I ended up getting a little bit lucky there as well. In terms of prices I didn't expect. Cam Schlittler is kind of the surprise in the sense that we kind of watched the spike happen. Like, the set was released. He was already relatively highly regarded. Then he went wild, and then prices became untenable. Another name that I kind of just wasn't expecting to see this perform this well in terms of prices and that be this hyped was Nate George for the Orioles. And I think that is just simply that I was not as attuned to kind of his ascent through the Orioles farm system as some other people were. But I mean, he's a legit bat as a prospect. And most of the time in Wilmacrome, you see guys who are like international signings and they're like super young and you're having to speculate really early. That's what I'm doing with Tornes. In George's case, not really. He was just a regular draftee, but and drafted out of high school. But just the timing of his ascent made it make sense for him to put in the Chrome. So he's kind of like the one name. Beyond that, I'm just kind of surprised the amount of money that people are willing to pay on, you know, 16, 17-year-olds who have like literally done nothing, including haven't even performed in the Dominican Summer League and are still shelling out hundreds, if not thousands of dollars. That's kind of wild to me.
Plenty more. I think the information is coming to light in the last couple of days. Honestly, I was away. I wasn't checking. It looks like Topps Pro Debut is on the way. I'm a fan of that product. Not quite the upside of Bowman Chrome, but joy. Still waiting on Allen and Ginter, you suckers. Give me what I want. Give me my hats. Give me my A&G release date. Topps update coming too. Those boxes are a little pricier than I wanted, but I guess that's the Kurtz effect.
Being the Kurtz effect, there's a couple other good rookies. I mean, everyone's still chasing, wants to chase Otani stuff. They still want to chase James Wood stuff, Drake Baldwin, guys like that. It's going to be, it's maybe not as in demand as maybe we thought it could be if some of these other guys had performed better. Like if Jacob Mizorowski had gone wild and was sticking around, like update would have been significantly worse. But it's just, it's update. You know, it's just going to be one of those things. Chrome update's going to be a nightmare, though. Because that's going to be where those rookie debut patch cards come in. And hopefully, you know, they aren't prohibitively expensive because I'd like to get in some of that product.
Yeah, that's what I want, but I'm not going to get it. I already know I'm not going to get it. So Pro Debut, and I think maybe honestly Topps Basketball for me. Let's see what that's like. And then maybe I hate it and maybe I don't go back. But that's my current plan for the next month and a half. Check in on the Baseball Insiders Prospect Show. I'm sure we'll let you know what we have. And we'll definitely keep following the AFL. Prospect comings and goings ahead of the offseason, and then plenty of player movement, re-rankings, reappraisals, all that good stuff as we head towards the winter meetings and beyond. Time to start cooking up those trade packages. Maybe I'll even make Eric grade some offseason trade packages. And by maybe, I mean I definitely will, because that sounds like a fun thing that I'd like to do, perhaps even as soon as next week. Certainly not sooner, though, because the show is every Tuesday at noon Eastern time, and that's when you can find us. Right here on the Baseball Insiders Prospect Channel. We thank everybody for watching on whatever platform you're on listening. If you came to us on your favorite podcast platform, rate and review us. Hit that join button below to hit us in the Discord. That's how you get to the Discord. You can get exclusive access to Eric, Robert Murray, and myself. And until next time, we'll see you.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.